would, go ahead, mark installment number 307. 307, up there, some of the current receipt vendor, indication. Would you place the order, please, sir, number 31 in supplemental? 31. All three verses of the supplement. All ladies in our room.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we call upon you through your Son Jesus, we pray, thanking you for him, for allowing him to come to be the sacrifice here for us, the saving of our sins. We pray, dear Father, as we pray through him, that you can guide us in this short study here, but guide us in our lives as we go forward from here, that we can continue following after what we've been learning in the scriptures, that we will not reject you or use other things as idols, but to realize from your word all that we need to do and learn so that we can also teach it to others. We ask that you be with those that are ailing here and those that can't be here, like Rosie Biddle, particularly from her surgery, that she can have peace and overcome the pain and problems that she's having there. And there are other people in other conditions, like the Massey family and other people in other parts of the world even that need help. The people down in Florida where there was the hurricane damage, even members of the church down there with troubles with their houses and such. But guide us all and help us to know that you're in charge and you're in control. And that even if we don't understand things, that we can study your word and to have the faith that all things will work good for those that love the Lord. And it's through your Son Jesus at this time we pray. Amen.
You turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to look at a message of Peter and then a message of Paul and see how similar they are. I didn't really sit down to think of connecting this to the lesson tonight, but obviously it was on my mind from Stephen's sermon, and I guess the themes are just similar in that way. But here we'll look at two other teachings that are related to that idea of being ignorant, being willingly ignorant sometimes of what the truth is, and making grave mistakes, even of an eternal nature, based out of that ignorance. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. Peter says, this is the second epistle, and he's referring to the first epistle that he wrote that we have called 1 Peter, and that passage was addressed to those in Asia Minor, several different provinces of Asia Minor. So we know it's primarily a Gentile audience. He would have had Jewish people in mind somewhere in those areas, but he's writing to Christians in that area. They would have had much more thorough exposure to idolatry in those areas than maybe you would have gotten in the heart of Israel, even though Stephen makes the point in Acts 7 there that we're studying right now, how they definitely are idolatrous in their own way. It is not in the traditional sense of having graven images of other faces and things like that they serve. And Peter's writing to people that would have known that kind of thing, and Paul will address that here in just a moment too. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And Peter returns to what he's saying. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I really want us to take away from this message tonight a very simple message of it, in that God's has given a long revelation of who he is. He created the worlds. He existed before that because he brought everything into existence that exists, and so he is outside of that. They have missed him, and they have denied his existence and become ignorant of the facts. I looked up that word ignorant just for the sake of checking it out again, and because I thought, well, the root word is ignore, not just clueless and just not aware, but it's that they ignore the evidence. They choose to ignore the direct statements and the direct examples that show that God is real and God is in control of these things. So they, and of course Peter says, you're willingly ignorant of these things. You choose to ignore the truth that's been revealed. The judgment is now required. And in this crazy, really, just to be so ignorant to say, well, where is this promise of coming? Because everything's been the same since the beginning. Nothing's ever changed. Have they just completely forgotten the flood that changed the entire world and took the entire population of humanity down to 8 souls and restarted again? You know, if that could happen one time, it can happen again. And so God's continual message of judgment to come should be recognized, even though it seems to us like it's taken a long time. If that happened before, it can happen again. And God says it's reserved to judgment. And just because 1,000 years passes, to us, that sounds like a long time, and maybe God forgot. For God, that's a day. It's the same as one day. Do we forget a tremendous amount of one day if the thing's really important? You know, I can forget what I had for breakfast this morning, you know, for sure. But of the things that are really important, I don't forget that. You don't forget that in a day. God doesn't forget that in 1,000 years. That time doesn't matter to Him in that way. Right? Also, have you ever thought about the fact that no man has ever lived 1,000 years? So more span of life than even the oldest man ever lived. God remembers what He's going to do. And when He says something's going to happen, just because time passes doesn't mean that it won't or that it's not going to. But God is not slack. He's not forgetful, and He's not unwilling to do what He said. He is giving opportunity for repentance, and it's long-suffering in a way that we've never known among other human beings. God is much more long-suffering than we are with each other, even more than thousands of years before He enacts this judgment to come. But, Peter says, but the day is coming. Just don't be willingly ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, verse 8. And then verse 10, the day of the Lord will come, and it will be as a thief in the night. So all that time will pass, and then it will come on so suddenly that we must not ever become ignorant and forgetful and deny that it's going to happen, because that's when it'll happen and we will be the least prepared. When the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth will be burned up and the works therein. And all of a sudden it'll be gone, and we won't have realized it because we would choose to be ignorant. And Peter's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant like that. I thought it was a fascinating call to repentance is what it comes down to. These promises stand no matter how much time has passed, because God is not slack concerning His promises. He never lets go of them. Once He said He's going to do something, He'll do it. Even if He didn't tell us exactly when, and lots of time passes, we know it will happen. And so He calls us to repentance at all times. Look at Acts chapter 17. This is just the only other passage we'll look at tonight. But look how similar Paul told the Athenians the same thing. When Paul went to Athens and he was talking, he saw all the idolatry, and you're too superstitious. Verse 23, he told him that you worship this altar that's to the unknown God whom you ignorantly worship. I'll declare Him to you, so you won't be ignorant anymore. But then he really picked up in verse 24 as a comparison to Peter's lesson that we just talked about in 2 Peter 3. Verse 24 of Acts 17. God that made the world and all things therein. See where he went back to? Went back to the beginning, just like Peter did. God made all things. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He gives to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. It's an amazing parallel to that passage in Peter. Peter and Paul taught the same thing. They taught the same thing. They understood the urgency. They understood why God had seemingly taken so long to do these things. You know, Peter focused on those who were ignorant of the facts of the world as it had been in the past and had denied God in their life. And the Gentiles did that. They denied that there was a God. Here he's talking to the Athenians, and they have denied that God is the true God. They now know Him only in the darkest way as the unknown God, kind of labeling Him as the unknown God. But they're ignorant of that. Peter said that those in Asia Minor were willingly ignorant of that. This is just across the Aegean Sea over in Greece, by the way. So kind of the similar type people. And they're both being told, you're ignorant. You know, you're choosing to ignore the obvious. God has revealed himself and you've forgotten that. And so what does God ask you to do? He asks you to repent because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Brethren, I leave you this message tonight between these two lessons that both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul taught the same thing. And the message is still true for us too. Okay, 2,000 years has passed. Well, to God, that's like a couple of days. For what he says will happen, will happen. That judgment is still before us for our own lives. You know, not the same judgment that he's talked about here. Those things were coming soon in their lifetime, but they still didn't know the day. But we have judgment to look for as well. We will all stand before the throne of God and we will give an account for what we have said, what we have done, what we thought. All of the works that we've done will be laid out before the Lord and we will give an account of those things. And what does he require of us? To not be ignorant of the fact that that judgment is coming and therefore motivated to repent of the error of our ways. For the judgment is coming and is sure. And the time that we have tonight, any time that we have before us that we are not assured of, but what we are granted, if we have any, is the long suffering of God giving us time to repent. If we don't go home tonight and die on the way, some accident or something, it's God giving us more time to repent. And that's the way we need to see it. And to not live our lives like, well, it won't happen in my lifetime. You know, it's been going on this long. The odds are in my favor. That's a terrible way to live your life. It's a terrible way to use your money to play the odds. It's a terrible way to use your time to play the odds. God says for us not to be ignorant. He is going to bring judgment, but he has offered a way to survive that and to be exalted in it, and that is repentance. And so that's the message that I give you tonight as we're here offering the invitation of Christ. It's still repentance. It's still choosing to recognize God, to admit that God is there, that God has a plan, and that God does judge. And if that's the case, then let's repent and be repentant before him at all times so that we are prepared for that judgment when we need to face it. That's the invitation tonight, especially to an audience like this that needs to hear the gospel message, but as a reminder of the commitment that we've made. And make sure that we are always repentant, that we are always striving to be obedient, knowing that that day can come, and when it does come, it is assured that it will happen. God has told us that it will. He's promised it is will. But he's also promised us salvation if we repent, and if we turn away from our ignorance and believe in him and obedient to him. And you have the opportunity to do that tonight as we stand to sing encouraging.
You've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace, his hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
those that we've mentioned as sick. We remember Rosie and her recovery from her hip surgery. Or Brother Christy. The lesions have stayed the same. I don't think necessary restoration for the lesion. You might have that on the rest of the day. So, there's no harm to the person. Anything else we need to do to see the court? Not set for you to send my voice to them.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Everlasting Father, we come to you tonight with humility and understanding and the power that you hold and the control that you have over the world. We thank you for the country you've given to us, that we can come together and worship together without persecution. We thank you for the connection we share here together, and that we come together to encourage each other and learn about your word. We thank you for the promise that you've given to us in your word, and that as we study it, we can understand it better and come closer to you so that we can have the ultimate reward in the life after this. We thank you for the comfort to know that you are in control of this life and that you love us and care for us as we go about our daily routines. We ask that you help guide us in our daily dealings, that we can shine your light through us to the world around us and help others come to you. We ask that you help those of our number who are dealing with severe health issues, and that they can recover and deal with those accordingly, as it be your will. We thank you for the ability you've given to us in prayer, that we can come to you with our problems directly, and that we can remind ourselves of you in prayer throughout our daily lives. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have all these things in the Word, the promise, the connection we have, and the reward in that ultimate sacrifice that He made for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.